Today's episode is sponsored by Hope Forward Therapy, a trusted behavioral health agency making a lasting impact in our community. Through therapeutic tools and compassionate case management, they help people heal and grow, all rooted in love, accountability, and empowerment. Learn more at hopeforwardtherapy.com.
Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today on Table Talks, I'm joined by Pippa Gumbel, a voice of wisdom and faith whose ministry has impacted millions. She and her husband, Nikki, served for years at Holy Trinity Brompton and together helped shape Alpha into the global movement it is today. I'm so honored to welcome her to the podcast. Stay tuned. Well, welcome, Pippa, to Table Talks. I can't tell you what an honor and joy it is to have you join me on this episode today.
Oh, well, it's my honor to be here. I'm very excited to be with you today.
Well, you know, I've been so excited to chat with you. You've been such a meaningful voice in the global church and in my life personally from such a distance. You're in the UK and we're, totally across an ocean and halfway across the United States away from each other. But I feel like you've had such an impact on my life and even from that distance through Alpha. And I've been to HTB and also I do the Bible reading app with Nikki and with you every day. And just the way that you and your husband, Nikki, have led with such grace and faithfulness through the years had just made an impact on so many people. And honestly, I feel like the listeners who will be listening to this, they like me, feel like they know you already through videos, and through conferences. I've been to the UK, I've been to London twice for your lead conference over the last few years. And anyway, you have such a way of making everyone feel like a special friend. And so we're excited to sit down with you and getting to talk to you in person is so special. So once again, welcome. And I can't wait to talk to you today. So thanks.
Thank you, Kay, so much. Well, you're an inspiration to me as well.
Well, that's so sweet to say, and it's going to be exciting. So you, I can tell I've done a lot of research on you besides getting to meet you through conferences and things like that, and you are as head over heels over your family as I am mine. And once you get to be in my season of life and possibly yours, family gets more important and more important. So you have your husband is Nikki Gumbel and you have three children and now 10 grandchildren.
Yes.
I have nine grandchildren. So what are their ages? What are your kids' ages, your grandkids?
They're 13 down to two. So, and practically every year down to two. So we've got a good range. It's great fun, chaotic, but wonderful.
Isn't it just the best time? I feel like, and I've heard it said, and I totally concur that we get to do some things over with grandchildren that maybe we feel like we weren't perfect at as parents. Yeah. And so we get a second chance and, and it is, you love your children so much that when you see them in their children, it's just, it's so endearing. It's the love and joy of my life. So I would imagine in the season that you and your husband, Nikki, are in, because I, have spoken with your assistant and just your schedule over the next year is just crazy. So how do you guys manage to be together, to get together? How do you stay connected with this big family that you have?
Oh, goodness knows, really. I think we've got one lot in London who are close by, and we see them every weekend, possibly twice at a weekend. So we see them a lot, and if we're needed at other times. Then we've got one son who's pastoring a church in Rio. I don't know whether you knew that, in Brazil, with four of the children out in Rio. And we go out once a year to Rio. So we have, I suppose, intense time with them when we're there. And they are actually back for 3 weeks in July, which will be wonderful. So we sort of see them when we see them solidly for a short while, but then the rest of the year they're apart. And then our daughter has taken her children out of school and they've gone traveling for 7 months. They're in Asia. They're having an absolute ball. They've been in Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and now in Borneo. So they have three children and they're having so much fun. They're doing homeschooling and I don't think they want to come home. So my children are slightly all over the place. And at one stage, my son, who's in London, because he works for World Vision, was in the DRC, in the Congo. And so I had three in three different continents, not even in different countries.
It's that so our sons, we have three sons that are grown and married with the nine grandkids, and we did all live in Albuquerque, New Mexico together up until 4 years ago. And our youngest son took I tell him this, he took my three youngest grandchildren. At the time they were 3 months and 2 and 4, and they moved to Washington, D.C. to plant a church. And we were all together and then they're gone. It is really hard on they call me KK, but it's hard on a KK's heart to have those young ones so far away.
It is. You love them so much, don't you? And they change so quickly in such a short time.
So my husband said, he said, I feel like they're growing up without us. And we do everything we can to see them as often as we can so that we can, you know, make those memories. And I know I did this to my parents. I moved from Alabama to New Mexico when I was 19, married, and I did it to them. But my kids should not have done this to me. That's how there should be a law against it. So
quite right.
So you guys, you have to have set in rhythms or some traditions to make sure. Do you ever get to be together, all of you, at one time?
I mean, not often. We usually maybe once a year manage everybody together. It's quite chaotic and quite complicated, but we try once a year to do that. It's quite hard. It's quite hard.
You know, if I could, I'm a planner. So if I could just take their schedules myself, I could make that happen. But, you know, for some reason, they don't want me to do that. And it's hard to, with especially when your kids are doing ministry or things where they can't predict what's in 2 or 3 months. So I totally feel your heart and I understand. So I think recently you were in Asia and you were in those places when I first reached out. So did you get to see your kids?
Yes, we did. We had a week with them, just over a week with them in Malaysia, which was wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
I'm so glad. It makes me smile just to know that you get to be with your grandkids. Yes. So you and Nikki have been married for also over 40 years like us. And I wonder how, I mean, I know the seasons of being a pastor or a vicar and your case and also all of the commitments with Alpha and everything else. How have you guys managed through these seasons, speaking of family, to keep things, to keep in ministry, to keep your marriage fresh and healthy and positive?
Yeah. Ministry, it's very difficult to have boundaries with ministry because where does it begin and where does it end? Are your friends that were in the church ministry or are they friends if you're seeing them? So I think it's a very complex thing. And I think we've got it wrong many times. I've apologized to my children so many times about the things I think, looking back, I would do differently now. But they've been very kind to us and I hope they've forgiven us. And I think you just have to keep reassessing in each different season of your life because it does change. And sometimes I think we did it right and sometimes I think we did it wrong and you get the balance wrong. We tried to do lots together, so we did travel quite a lot, and we would take the whole family a lot of the time. So we stuck together as a unit, and I think that was very precious that we could do that. And people were gracious enough to put up with us when we arrived with three children in different parts of the world and welcomed us. And I think actually that was a very bonding experience.
Isn't that great? I love that. And because your kids then grow up with such a positive feeling of ministry too. You know, they feel like they get to all the fun things that they never would have been privy to, or things that would not have been available in their lives had it not been for ministry. And my children, two of my three sons are pastors, one is a pharmacist, but the two, they remind their children all of the time that we get to do this because we're in ministry. Look at the world we've been able to see and the people we've been able to meet.
Yes, yeah, I think it's such a privilege. And actually, our daughter who's traveling in Asia, she's going to all these different churches, and a lot of them have links with us in some way. And I think now she's rather impressed that we have been doing something useful in our lives, because she meets all these churches that are running Alpha or involved with something, and she's, oh, not bad. So I think it's just a realization of that. I'm sure sometimes they resent it, but I think other times it puts such extraordinary people in their lives they would never be friends with. You know, they're friends with ex-criminals, they're friends with, you know, people young, old, from all sorts of classes and backgrounds and cultures. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
I love that. I so resonate with what you're saying. And I believe it will with so many people, because we feel like maybe we're doing something to our kids if we're busy with them, but including them, they're seeing the fruit of your ministry now as they're grown adults, as you said, like they're traveling, and what a blessing. And all the years that you pastored, or you were on staff, as we would say it, at HTB, which is Holy Trinity Brompton, for quite a few years before Nikki became the vicar. So that was a huge part of your ministry life. You were pastors for 17 years. And what were those years like for you, the transition from being an associate to being the vicar? And what was that like?
Well, in the Anglican Church, there's a vicarage. So in fact, we've moved back to our old house, but you actually go and live on site by the church. So for 17 years, we lived on the campus of the church. And actually, I loved it. I'm not saying I'm not happy to be away from it now, but I loved it because you're in the centre of everything. Everything is happening around you. And you just know what's going on. And I loved knowing what was going on in so many different areas. Yes, it's a transition, but people were very, very supportive of us arriving there, and very freeing, you know, not saying I had to do, you know, certain things, but giving me the option to be in whatever meetings that I wanted to be at whatever time that I needed to be. And by then, our children were much older, so it wasn't like they were tiny, because I don't know, really. You've done it when they were tiny. We weren't the senior pastor when our children were tiny. And that, I think, is much harder.
It is hard, but we didn't know any better. You know, we had not, we were kind of blindly doing this. Our parents weren't pastors, so they were lovely and amazing, godly Christian people, but no, we had not seen that done before. So it was, we just kind of learned as we went. So again, I'm sure you had so many pivotal moments, and when you pastor people for so long, they make such an impact on us, and hopefully we have that impact on them. And I'm sure you can think of many pivotal moments in ministry when you were vicars at HTB, but anything special that stands out that you feel like totally, totally changed the trajectory?
I think one of the things was that before really Nikki took over, I was very happy to be very supportive of involved with all the pastoral stuff. And I never thought that I would take a sort of main stage place. And actually, I didn't want to take a main stage place. I like being behind the scenes. I like supporting. I'm dyslexic. I don't love sort of reading scripts or doing things like that. So I sort of had counted myself out of doing sort of upfront ministry. And then it was Christine Kane, if you know her, who said to me one time when they were over, she's saying, "Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you leading the women? Why aren't you getting, you know, being more involved?" And I was, "Oh, we have so many gifted people and I like to see all of them doing." And she said, "Don't be ridiculous. God's put you in a place there. You should jolly well do it." And I think that and a few other things started me rethinking. And I also said to the Lord, because I got very nervous going on stage, said to the Lord, "If you want me to do it, you have to take the fear away." And he did take the fear away. He literally, it went. I used to sort of shake like that and it went. I'm not saying I don't get nervous sometimes, but that terror went. And I sort of saw that, okay, Lord, you've done this for me. Now I have to step up and do more. And then we started leading it together as a couple. And I think we just felt that that was the right thing to do then. A lot of people in London, they're single or they haven't got families around them. And you want to be family to them, don't you? Yeah. And so we started leading together. And my husband, Nicky, loves having me there. In fact, he was always pushing me to do it before. And I was always saying, no, off you go. You know, I'm fine. I'll stay here. And then gradually doing more and more. So that was quite a big that was one of the major shifts. And actually, I loved it. I loved it. And it's good to be pushed, isn't it? To be slightly out of your comfort zone. You know, every time you get up on stage on Sunday and you've got to pray and you've got to do something, I'd sometimes, if I was feeling not very adequate, I would say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm doing it for you." So in other words, if this doesn't go well, it's your fault.
I'd love to see you on stage. I feel like, and I'm sure that your husband, that Nikki saw it in you, like you said, many years before you did. But isn't it crazy that it takes someone else? Because when my husband would say to me, "You should write this, you should do this." Yes, I think, and I thought, he's just saying that. He's just trying to make me feel better. Like, okay, you're good at it. And I thought, he doesn't mean it. He's just trying to make me feel good. Until someone else said it, then I thought, maybe I could. And so that's really cool that she spoke prophetically into your life to get you to move, which I love seeing you on stage at the Alpha at Lead Conference. When you walk up, you just make the stage a better place, really. What you add to the team is amazing. So, which leads us into Alpha. I still, the level of global impact that the Alpha courses have had and are having, it blows my mind because I watch it in our church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then churches that we've helped to, you know, get started with Alpha. And I think it feels big, but then when you look at the global impact and the global reach that it's had, it truly blows my mind. So for someone who's not familiar with when we say Alpha, because, you know, it's easy to assume with 34 million people worldwide who have taken that course, it would be easy to think that everybody's heard of it. The reality is a lot of people still have no idea, have never even heard of you know, Alpha, much less the Bible or, you know, anything else. So could you give us just a quick overview of what Alpha is? Like, what is it and how does it work?
Yes. I mean, we started this course. In fact, one of the other members of the staff started it. And we had no idea it would go anywhere other than our local church. There was no great plan to do this international course. It was literally a course. It was slightly more for new Christians, and then it morphed when we realized we could get people who were totally outside the church. And so Nikki really took it over in 1990, and that was when it was sort of more formalized. He wrote up the talks, then we started to record them, and that sort of started how it went. But I think we still didn't expect it to go absolutely all over the world. In 1993, we did a conference at Holy Trinity Brompton, because lots of people by then were saying, "How do you run it? How do you run it?" And we got all these people came to say, you know, what is Alpha? And Alpha is basically a 10-week course with a weekend on the Holy Spirit, and it's an introduction. We call it an opportunity to explore the meaning of life, but an opportunity to explore the fundamentals. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? You know, how can I have faith? What, you know, how do I read the Bible? How do I pray? You know, real basic things, so that, and it, in a relaxed, informal way, you get supper, have a talk, either live or video, and then you discuss. And that's the key, their opportunity for in groups, in tables, to talk. And that's our time, not to speak, but to listen.
It's amazing to me, and I hear you describe it. I've witnessed it myself, and it still blows my mind what happens as a result of what you just described. It is pretty amazing, and I've not only listened to the testimonies on the videos, and I'm re-inspired every time I hear one of those testimonies, and I think, you know, you look at some people and think they're too far. They've gone, yeah. They've gone too far. They've done too much. They have too many questions. I just need an easy person to witness to. I'd like one who's been to church and then walked away. But these people in these videos and on stage at a conference, their lives are so radically changed. And it really does just give me such hope about the life-changing power of the gospel of Christ. It's just amazing. So you have heard thousands upon thousands of testimonies and met the people that gave the testimony. So you could tell, we could talk testimonies for the rest of the day. Would there be one or two that stand out to you through the Alpha course specifically that have just been like, wow?
Yeah, I mean, yes, as you say, so many amazing stories. And what you do realize is it's nothing to do with us. It is, you know, the power, the work of the Holy Spirit. The last one we did at Holy Trinity before we left, there was a man who'd come on the course called Kay, and he was brought by someone called Nana. And when we went round on the first evening saying, how come you're here? He said that he'd never been to church, not even to I don't think he did. Had he been to a wedding? Maybe one wedding. Nothing. But he'd lost his mother, had passed away just recently, and he was so depressed. Yeah, I think he'd been suffering anyway from depression. He hadn't been leaving his home, and he was in a bad way. And he was so suicidal, he went to the graveyard where his mother was buried and was going to say to her, I'm going to join you. I'm going to take my own life. And he was feeling so miserable. He was walking away from the tomb when he looked down and saw a blue Barclays credit card. He picked it up and he recognized the name on it as someone he grew up with. Hadn't seen him since he was 9, but they'd lived on the same sort of housing, quite basic housing place that he'd grown up. And so he found him on Facebook, said, I've got your credit card, and they contacted. And Nana said, well, I'm grieving too, because my brother was buried quite close to your mother, and that's why my credit card was there. But my faith is making a difference. And he said, I think you should come to Alpha, and I'm booking you in and taking you along. So that's how he came to be along. On fifth week, I think someone asked, have you seen any differences in your life? And he said, I've stopped taking the herbs. In other words, he stopped taking drugs. He'd taken drugs every day of his life. And he said he felt better. He hadn't taken any. And one or two others said, oh, I've stopped taking them a couple of years. And then one other said, what's wrong with the herbs? So there was quite a mixture of reaction. But on that day on the Holy Spirit, when we prayed for him, he gave his life to the Lord. And he was set free of his depression, everything. He was a totally changed man. And then had a community of friends that he didn't have before. And actually, during the Our holiday, we do a church holiday away once a year. He was baptized with some of the others from the group. We baptized him in a paddling pool in a sort of field. And he, in the evening, spoke to about 7,000 people saying how he'd given his life to the Lord and what a difference it had made. And he is just one of many amazing stories.
You know, what seems like that is so beautiful, because to someone, they might think, well, that's just a coincidence. But to drop a credit card near a grave site of something that you knew that you haven't seen for a lifetime. I mean, God can just set up the right place at the right time. He loves to do that, to change the course of our life, which that is such a beautiful testimony. And that's what I love about Alpha, is you have something to invite someone to that is so non-threatening. There's nothing there that is confrontational or threatening, and it gives the gospel, and they're able to think what they want, ask the questions they want, believe or not believe. That's what it's just so different than how I was raised. I was raised pretty strict, and you kind of needed to clean up before you, you know, got to church. And Alpha's opposite of that.
Yeah, they all come in quite, I mean, one of the testimonies at this weekend on the last leadership conference, he was a guy, a lovely guy. He's tattooed from, there's not an inch of his flesh that isn't tattooed. And but Jesus has reached out and set him free and healed him. And you just think, thank you, Lord, that you find people in all sorts of places that we probably couldn't. I don't know how he came to Christ, except eventually got on an Alpha course. But it is amazing. They're not the people I would live next door to, you know, that I'd know or been at school with. And yet Jesus finds them.
Hope Forward Therapy is helping individuals and families break cycles and build stronger futures. With a heart for healing and transforming lives and a focus on real change, their work is transforming lives across our community. Learn more at hopeforwardtherapy.com. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way for people to find the podcast and be encouraged. Now, back to the conversation. That's what I wanted to ask you, because I have been in courses, you know, discipleship courses throughout my life. I'm 64 almost now. I've been a Christian my whole adult life. But there's something unique about Alpha that they're great. I'm sure there are lots of good discipleship courses, but there's something unique about Alpha. And it's so effective. So what do you think? What do you think is the edge that Alpha has that makes it so effective, besides the anointing of the Holy Spirit? I mean, we're going to call that a given, but what makes it so effective?
Yeah, I mean, yes, because it is just a course. I mean, I think nearly every culture around the world loves food. So gathering together and serving food works with most cultures. And that sort of breaks down the barriers before you start. And I think people need to get to know people, to trust people before they'll listen to them. And so that whole thing of coming along and having others who believe all sorts of funny things around you coming together, therefore you don't feel you're the only one or getting got at, but you come to a friendly environment with good food and you hear talks. And then it is definitely the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God. You see people week by week changing without, you know, they were disagreeing one week and they've changed the next week and you don't even know why. So we don't really know, apart from that everybody wants to belong, everyone wants to be loved, you know, everyone wants to be included and trusted and actually empowered, you know, that to give people a voice and to say, we're listening to you. You know, even if their ideas are crazy, we're still listening to you. And that honours them, gives them respect. And then I think people open up as time goes on. So I think it's all those things. And people, and I love the fact that people, most unlikely you get a business and making friends with someone who's recovering from alcohol, probably been on the street for some time. They're all put together and somehow it works.
It's so, and the videos, I want to stress, they're so beautifully done and so well crafted and made and professional. I feel like I'm there, when they're being narrated or Nikki's, sharing a story or you're sharing that. But the basic questions that are asked, I listen over and over, and I think I need to just knowing the answers to that. You think, well, we all know. We all know, is the Bible, he's asked on one of the videos, is the Bible real? Or do you believe the Bible? Or, what's the, I think one of the videos I watched just this last week, the opening question was, what's something you've been really excited about? What's the last thing you shared with someone that you're excited about? And I thought, what a beautiful question to ask ourselves to answer. It just really put me in check to think, am I excited? What am I excited about? So there's so much to it. And we'll, when we have this podcast, this episode, we will definitely put links to Alpha. Our goal would be that everyone could put themselves into an Alpha course or go if they get the opportunity to. But I know another part, and you've mentioned this about Alpha, is the connection, the community, the friendships made. There are people at our church, at Citizen Church in Albuquerque, who are best friends that met in their group at an Alpha course, and now they do life together. So I'm sure that's, you've mentioned it, but how big is community and friendship through this?
Oh, a huge way. I mean, I think that is a lot. The people are either coming back into church who maybe have wandered off for a long time, and the community actually brings them back in. And we've known people not become a Christian at the end of the course, but they like the people so much they keep coming to church, and eventually they do become a Christian just because they've bonded with the people. So I think everybody, there are more people that are lonely than one realizes. And everybody wants to belong to a group, and therefore, meeting the body of Christ are the best people you could ever meet. Often people will say that everyone's so smiley. What's wrong with everyone? They're so nice. But then it's because they haven't ever really experienced what it's like to be among Christians, and that is so refreshing and so compelling. And so I think there's. That is, I mean, as Jesus said, by your love will everyone know. And I think it is when they see that, and it's natural. Christians on the whole like to have fun together. And I think when people walk into that, they're always so surprised. They often say they think when they walk into an Alpha evening, they'll come in and there'll be a few people and a weak cup of tea and a biscuit, and they're so surprised, buzzing with the young people all laughing and having fun. And they're, oh, this is not what I expected. This is something I'd like to be part of.
I love it. I just the whole idea and something else that you and Nikki have that you developed, and I'm not exactly sure what year it started. I know one of the years I went to the leadership conference in London, I purchased a red Bible. That is was it's your you have an app now. It's called the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. But I bought this Bible that you can journal in the Bible, but it's also a 1 year Bible. And like I said, I've been in church my whole life. I've been in ministry. I have skirted around reading through the Bible. I've done plans and I hurry through the pages and I feel like I don't even know what I just read. But I loved the red Bible that I could write notes and I love the app. I cannot tell you how much I love the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. I love that app and I love that so in that app, it's a reading through the Bible, in a year app, and it's got a psalm or a proverb and a New Testament reading and an Old Testament reading, and it's chronological once you get to those the New Testament, Old Testament reading. I love that your husband Nikki starts off and he talks a little bit, he prays, and I think he's talking straight to me. I'm like, he knows me. He really, and I think if they did know me, they would really want to be my friend. Anyway, I just love that. And I love the wonderful narrator that reads the scripture. And there's just so much to that. I see such a difference when I don't miss a day. If I start my day with that, my whole attitude is different. Everything about me is different when I'm immersed in the word. I love the way that he is able to describe and to talk about some of the scripture, and to Nikki is, and to help some people, to help me to be able to understand it a little bit better. It's about 22, 23, 24 minutes every day. I set my phone in the shower, and that's when I do. So that's 10 minutes. And then I get out, and as I'm doing all the lotions and potions, I like to say, I have to fix everything. Then I
you're looking good on what.
But I love it. So tell me, what started that? Where did that come from?
That, again, there was someone in our alpha group. He was a Palestinian Christian married to an Italian who came. And they, he was sort of nominal, and they both experienced, you know, their faith coming alive. But he said, I don't know where to begin reading the Bible. I have no idea. And Nikki had been given a Bible in 1 year that cut up into, 365 days. And so Nikki said to him, okay, I'll send you my thoughts every day. And at first it was just a quick email out. And then, of course, it began to develop. And then we sort of thought, oh, well, should we send it to the whole church? Because it'd be nice for everybody to do it together. And then somebody developed the app. And again, we had no concept that that would go and be translated into many, many different languages and go around the world. You can do the express version, which is shorter. I think if the long one is, I don't know how many minutes, is it 40 minutes? And the express is 20 or 15 or something, to cut out a bit of the Old Testament, because some people said, oh, it's so long and all those battles. So he's done a slightly shorter one in that. But it is interesting that people, even if they haven't come to faith yet, quite often download it and start listening to it. And it has a huge impact on their life, I guess, because the word of God is powerful.
It really is. And I just feel like it's so easy. So, you know, maybe in the past, it would be harder to get up and read your Bible every day or to go through the Bible in a year. But this makes it so easy. And you can, this is the cool thing, you can jump in anytime. It's not dated like today's date. It's day one through day one, 365. So you can start on, you can be, your day one could be today. You can start anytime you want. It doesn't have to be from, in the calendar year, but today.
Yes.
Which I'm recording this with you, for me, was day 135. It's yesterday was all in the book of Judges, and this, the guy's concubine was cut up in 12 pieces and given out to. There's so much that you'll skip over a lot of times when you're just reading, because it's like, that's just too much. I don't even. But when it's being read to me, I'm most likely to listen. And I love. Okay. So I want to know, at the very end of every day, here comes Pippa Adds. And so I've told people, do you listen to the very end? Because Pippa Adds, and I like to say, that's putting in your 2 cents. That's your 2 cents worth. But how did you come up to just do that nice little closure?
I think it started almost as a joke. Nikki was working so hard on the scripts. He'd get up, he'd spend 2.5 hours every day on it. For quite a few years, even sort of on Christmas Day and when we were flying somewhere and everything. And I was like, Nikki, come on. And I just started putting a few things in just as a joke. And then somebody said, oh, call it Pepper Ads. And so we started doing that. And at first I didn't do every day. And then over the year, I filled in all of them. And started doing, well, I had one or two that was said things like, too busy, I've got to wash my hair. And then I've taken most of those out.
I look forward to that. I think, okay, I wish that was another 5 minutes. I feel like you just have this wealth of information. It's funny because when you're doing that, I think of the many sermons my husband preached, and I was on the front row, and I thought, just hand me a microphone, because I could tell you, let me finish that sentence, because I could tell the story a little better, or he didn't finish it right. So that's how I see you. I'm thinking, she's going to make sure you put the bow into the day. That's what it is to me.
Yeah. Yes, well, I know it's been good for me too, the discipline. I'm not as disciplined as you, and I'm not as good. But actually, the Bible in 1 year has made me every day make sure I'm that disciplined. And And of course, there's so much in it, isn't it? And some of it is funny. Some of it's funny. And some of it's very, very serious and very powerful. But you've got, you know, everything in there.
It really is. And it has helped me on this to become more disciplined, because if I don't watch it, I think I would say, I've done this so long that I know all of this. Like, truly, what else can I learn? But listening to the Word of God and starting, like I say, the day out with that has really just changed. It's changing me always, because I don't think you can ever be the same when you hear the Word of God and listen to it. And I hear that. It's just been great for me. So I love that. So I love this whole Bible app. And I will also put a link so people can find that app. It's really simple. It's just the Bible. With yes. Mickey Hippogumbo, his name I think is first on there, but I love that, and it's just been amazing. So you're in time goes by so fast. We've got some more minutes, but I want to ask a few more questions. So you're in this new season. So just two or three years ago, maybe a few, you guys transitioned from being the vicars of HTB. So what do you do full time now? And how has this season been different for you?
Yes. It was quite a big thing, because we've been, you know, on the staff of that church for not as long as you, 35, 36 years, something like that. And it felt like the right time to hand on. You've wonderfully handed on to your son, but we've handed on to somebody called Archie and Sam Coates, and they were our associates for about 7 years. They went and then planted a church in Brighton, where our son went as his associate for 10 years. So it all felt very family, and he just seemed, you know, we were praying and praying who should take it on, you know, move in this next phase. And he just seemed the right person to come back and do it. And he's doing a phenomenal job. I think that's all you want. It's a bit like a sort of proud parent, isn't it? You just want them to do well and to see, because the HTB will always be sort of not quite my baby, but, you know, where my heart is. But we actually now go to one of the church plants so that we give Archie and Sam space to be themselves. And we go to one of our church plants that's literally 2 minutes at the top of our road, which is wonderful. And we've known, again, the pastor there, because he was on the staff with us. So that was lovely. So it does look different. I think I missed being in the worshipping community a bit, because there were so many meetings. You know, if it was staff meeting, we'd have worship. If there was, you know, pastors or the staff, any sort of meetings here, there would always be worship and atmosphere of praise. And I think I've had to work a bit harder to get my sort of spiritual input. And maybe some of it, I was so blessed because I had it handed to me on a plate, in a way, that I had all these wonderful meetings, all these wonderful prayer meetings and everything, whereas it's slightly different now. So we're full time for Alpha. Nikki's the chair of Alpha International. And so it's given us time to travel more, which has been wonderful, because it got so busy at HDB, because he was still involved with Alpha, and we had a theological college and a church planting and all the rest. It was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which was too much. Mm-hmm. And now to concentrate on really to Alpha, a bit on the church planting, has been really, really good, because we haven't visited half the offices and things around the world. And it's such a joy for us. We go somewhere and wherever it is, and you see these wonderful people faithfully doing amazing things. You hear stories, and it's such a boost to us. We come back feeling encouraged and fired up by hearing what they're all doing, faithfully serving the Lord in so many different, you know, whether it's Japan or whether it's in Chile or in, you know, all these different places. People are faithfully serving the Lord, and the church is growing. That's the exciting thing. The church is growing.
I love that. I listen to you talk, and the transition, you know, my husband, we also felt like it was time, the 2 or 3 years leading up to 2020 when we transitioned. So it's just different at first, just finding your footing, I think.
Yeah.
For me, especially finding my footing and what it was going to look like. Excuse me, and just getting, you know, getting a rhythm. But over a period of time, you do that. And then it's like, I love the travel. I love that I can do like this podcast. I have time for it and I can research and dream. And it's just added a new dynamic. So for me, the most surprising thing about the season is that I had a lot in me that I didn't even know I had, because we were just in the everyday, you know, pastoring and
it's doing busy, all the isn't it?
Things we do.
You're back to back. Yes.
And take time to think what could be for me? What else could there be? What do I have? So for me, the surprising thing has been that there was a lot more inside of me that I had. So that's been fun. So one surprising thing for you, that since you've transitioned and you're doing all the alpha now.
One thing I do wish I'd paid more attention is learning languages now, because wherever you go, you sort of feel, oh, I wish I'd learned French when I was there, or German when I was, you know, and bettered that. What surprises me, I just think that I find it very exciting to go to these places. You know, sometimes I feel daunted. There's a long trip. There's jet lag. It's wherever. And you get somewhere and you see the smiling faces of the church greeting you. And you hear the amazing stories of these faithful people serving the Lord in whatever place. I find it deeply moving. And I think it gives you a bit more of a global idea. You know, you see in Japan, it's been hard. You know, there is life there and it is growing, but it's very small. And then you see the huge churches in somewhere like Singapore or in Indonesia. You sort of see all these different things. There's quite a move of the spirit in South America going on at the moment, and sort of Africa. And you start sort of seeing, and China is very exciting, because we've done a Alpha film series that's all Chinese, not a Western face in it, all the hosts are Chinese, the experts are Chinese, everything. And that is going crazy. It's gone into mainland China, but it's also for the dispersion of Chinese people around the world in, you know, whether it's in, I don't know, Vancouver or Australia and everything. And the Chinese churches, it's tenfold increase. And so you just sort of think, wow. How does it happen? How is this happening? But there are people who pick up the baton somewhere and start running with it. And I'm always amazed. I'm glad. I'm getting old. You know, I think I'm at the cheering on, run faster. Well done. Keep going. Stage of life, like a grandparent. But I'm very encouraged that the church, despite wars and horrible things going on in the world, the Church of God is growing. And there's a move of the Spirit, particularly with young people. And that has surprised me. For years, you know, we thought we were losing the young people. But now the sort of Gen Alpha coming through, there's a change of attitude. And we think it's very funny. It's Gen Alpha. We get to say, yes, Gen Alpha. Very strange. So I think there are some amazing things going on, and we want to make sure we're still in the game, still riding the wave, realizing, you know, not getting left behind, even if we're not going to be in the front of this movement, but we still want to be still on the wave, still riding it, even if it's holding onto someone's coattails, and keep going.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, you're describing the same thing I feel in my heart. I'm like, don't leave me. I'm still, you know, I want to be a part of it. You know, we worked our whole life, and you guys have worked your entire adult life preparing for this moment. So it's exciting to see what's happening in the next generations. And I'm just enjoying that I can watch and be a part of it, and that I still have a part in their lives. And that's what you do through Alpha. I know you guys have lofty, lofty goals over the next years with Alpha. And if you want to just share some of those Alpha goals with us before we close, we're closing, and I'll have you pray over people that are listening. But what are those goals?
Well, one of the things that we're concentrating on is that in 2033, it'll be 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. And so we've made that a sort of date, and lots of different organizations have. Rick Warren is doing a Bible, a body of Christ, and something else in every community. The Bible Society are translating They're hoping to do 99% of all the languages around the world. The Catholics are doing all sorts of movements for it. So we want to be part of that. We want to get Alpha into as many languages as we can, contextualizing as much as we can by 2033. So we're concentrating on now to do one for Africa, Middle East, various ones as well, two for India. So that's the sort of areas. So there's quite a lot still to do in all of that. So we're excited. So I think everyone is pushing really for that. Not that that's the end or that Jesus is coming back. We may, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he will come back in 2033. Who knows? But it's something to aim at and a time of celebration, because I think the turn of every sort of, I think sort of, every 100 years, there is a big celebration of these things. So I think it will be a very important time to reflect, remember, and unite all the Christian, the body of Christ. And we love that, to work together with everybody.
I love that too. I was at the LEAD conference in 2023 when Nikki kicked off that vision. So to get to be in the room, and our church in Albuquerque, our goal is to have 10,000 people go through Alpha in the 10-year period. And so we're going as hard as we can to make that happen. We so believe in what it's done. We believe it's been such a huge catalyst to the growth of our church, spiritual growth, and the lives coming to Christ. So we're coming to the end of this, and I know that there have to be people listening that have heard us chat and talk. These podcasts have a way of just going, have a ripple effect, and they wind up places I never would have dreamed that people are listening. But someone who may be listening that might be hesitant about their faith, or know someone that is, or maybe the person listening is distant from God. They've been close to him before. And I just, if you could just give us one small step, and then we'll close in prayer. One small step for that person that's just, you know, kind of hesitant or questioning.
Yeah. Well, I think of Andrew sort of bringing Peter to Jesus. And really all we want to do is bring people to Jesus. We might not be the great Peters, but we can all be an Andrew. We can bring somebody to Jesus. And even if we're not sure, we want to know if we're close to Jesus. That's the best place to be, close to Jesus. We all want to go and be close to him, to have that relationship with him, know that he loves us, know that he's died for us, that he's not cross with us, that he's for us. He's our God. He's our savior. He's our friend. And that is the most important thing.
I love that. So, boy, what an amazing time together. If you would just pray, again, we don't know who will listen to this, but prayer is so powerful. And if you could just pray over the people listening, and I would really love that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everybody listening today. Thank you, Lord, that you know them, you've died for them, that you know all their deepest needs and longings. And Lord, we pray that you would pour out your spirit in abundance on everyone. Would they know afresh your great love for them? Would you encourage them today? Whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, would you draw close and remind them that you're for them and not against them, that you're the healer of our lives, and that you're the joy that goes before us. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing and you continue to do in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just want to say thank you again. I believe that this episode will have lasting impact, and it will be encouragement to people for weeks and months to come. I am so grateful that I was able to reach out to you and get in touch with you, and that you said yes. I know you're pulled in so many directions. I believe like God ordained this. I feel like he spoke to me and said I was to reach out. So thank you. Thank you. And hopefully we'll meet in person one day.
Hopefully we will. Definitely. If you come to London, let me know. You did it beautifully. Thank you for your lovely questions and being such a delightful host to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I will. I'll get in touch somehow. If we will be there again. We love coming there and we love the conference, and we'll be there again. But thank you. And I pray you have a blessed and a fun weekend.
Thank you. You too. You too. And this season of your life too.
Thank you.
Very fruitful. Yeah. Thanks, Kay, very much.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.